Proverbs 14:3. You can go ahead and turn there again, as it is our text for these sessions. And in fact, we'll say it together in just a minute. So go ahead and turn to Proverbs 14:3. You got it? Okay, I'll say the reference and then jump in and join me and we'll say it together. Proverbs 14:3. Take fast hold of instruction. Let her not go. Keep her, for she is thy life. Still trying to get there. Let me give you another minute. What did I say it wrong? 4:13. I have it written down wrong. All right, are we 4:13? All right, Proverbs 4:13. No wonder. Boy, they are sleepy. All right, are we at the right place? Now, that's what you get for having it written here. And all right, Proverbs 4:13. Take fast hold of instruction. Let her not go. Keep her, for she is thy life. So far we've covered two key areas in our life in order to hold on for dear life, and that is to approach instruction with a submissive heart, and then we must seek God's instruction through our daily Bible reading and through hearing Bible preached. So number three, and lastly, follow the instructions. Follow the instructions. So my son is 20 years old, and he, to this day, is still bitter about something that happened 15 years ago when he was 5 years old. It will come up periodically, and yes, he is still bitter about it. So he has always loved dogs. He still loves dogs, and when it goes all the way back to when he is little. He's just a dog lover. We have two dogs. And so when he was little, almost all of his stuffed animals were dogs. And then he had, I don't know how many tons, but he had several that were particularly special. There was Doggy, and there was Puppy, original names, and then there was Cheater. I don't know. You'll have to, if you see him sometime, you can ask him about the Cheater. I don't know where the name comes from. But anyway, he had these three special dogs. Well, he spent hours and hours, night and day, with these dogs when he was little. And so they needed laundered. And I thought, okay, these dogs are getting smelly, and it's time to go in the washing machine. And I thought, you know what, I'm just going to throw them in with the sheets because the sheets need wash too. And I thought, you know, this would be a good idea. I don't want the agitator of the machine to kind of mess up the stuffed animal, so I'll throw the sheets in with it. It'll kind of be a cushion. And the instructions on the sheet, I mean, I knew them, they said wash coal in cold water with light colors. And I thought to myself, you know, these sheets are not new. I mean, they were old. They probably really needed to be replaced. They had been in the washing machine tons and tons of times. So even though I knew the instructions, I thought to myself, I think this will be all right because any loose dye is surely long gone by now. And by the way, the sheets were red. And as you can imagine, so now you understand his bitterness. Right. I scrubbed and scrubbed on those poor little puppies, and I did get some of it out, but to this day, because he doesn't care about them now, but I have them tucked away because you know how that is as moms with the special little things when your kids were little. And yeah, they still have a little bit of a pink tinge to them. So even though I knew the instructions, and I even understood in that case why the instructions were there, it didn't do me a lot of good because I didn't follow them. Well, hold your finger in Proverbs, because at the very end we're gonna come back and see that one more time. But turn your Bible to James chapter 1. James chapter 1. A very familiar couple of verses in James, talking about following instructions. James chapter 1, look at verse 22 and verse 23. But be ye doers of the work, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word, and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself, and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty, and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. Are any of you sufferers from bad bedhead? I mean, like, really bad Bedheb. So here's the illustration that God uses. Hearing and knowing his instruction and not obeying it is like when you wake up with really bad bedhead. You go into the bathroom, you maybe wash your face real quick, your eyes get opened enough that you can see in the mirror, and you go, oh, here we go again. And you see that really bad bedhead. Well, and then you wouldn't go out into public that way, would you? I mean, I hope not. We wouldn't. That's not what we want to do, right? The point of seeing it in the mirror is to do something and fix it. You don't want to go out in public that way if you have a really bad bedhead. You don't even want to maybe go out into the rest of the house and scare your children either. You want to do something about it. Well, here's the illustration that James is giving us. When we hear the word, it's kind of like we're looking in the mirror. But if we hear the word, but we don't do what the word says, and we hear the instruction, but we're not following the instructions like me in the sheets, it's like we go and we see ourselves with a really bad bedhead, but we don't do anything about it. And we didn't want to come to the conference today without doing anything with our really bad bedhead. And so you remember King Saul, who we talked about earlier this morning in the first session, the difference between Saul and David, especially when they were confronted. And David had that submissive and that tender heart, and Saul had more the rebellious heart. Well, King Saul had clear instruction from God. King Saul's situation was not like Josiah. Josiah didn't know, and so he needed to seek, but he had the tender heart. King Saul, he knew very clearly what God's instructions were. Listen to exactly what God told him to do from 1 Samuel 15, 2 and 3. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, I remember that which Amalekite did to Israel, how he laid wait for him in the way when he came up from Egypt. Now go and smite Amalekite and utterly destroy all they have and spare them not. You see, King Saul was a hearer of the word. That was very clear. There wasn't a question about that. But he was not a doer of the word. He didn't follow the instructions that God gave. He did it his own way. He had a better plan, he thought. He came up with something that he thought that God would, that would be even better than God's instructions. He thought, oh, this will be even a better way to do it. And so here is what Samuel said. It's a famous verse. It's a verse that we use to teach children in Sunday school class. What Samuel told Saul kind of at the end of this saga. In 1 Samuel 15:22, he says, hath the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. You familiar with that verse? It's a good one to memorize. It's a good one to remind ourselves. Following instructions is important. It's important when you're going to wash red sheets. And it's much more important following God's instruction. And to not do it Saul's way, which is to think, oh, I think maybe I have a little bit of a better idea here. I think my way just might be slightly a little bit better. But to follow the instructions exactly. So this afternoon, as we close, I'm going to close with an illustration that is about following directions, following instructions, and I think it's an illustration that many of us will be able to relate to. So I've lived in Arizona for 20 years now, and I already told you that I grew up in northern New York and in Vermont, and I can tell you that the people back there have no idea where Navajo tacos are, because I didn't for years. No idea at all. They have no idea what they're missing out on. Moving to Arizona, boy, you learn about that really quickly, and you're very thankful to learn about that very quickly. I'm guessing most of us in here, because we live in Arizona, we've tried it, and I'm guessing all of us who have tried it have enjoyed it a lot. Well, since living here 20 years, I've kind of always wanted to learn how to really make it, like to get as close. Now, some of you, I didn't have the opportunity to grow up learning how to make it, like passed down from generation to generation like some of you have. And so I know I probably could never really get the exact 100% magic touch of it, but I'd really like to get as close as I can. In fact, two summers ago, at West Branch for summer camp, we decided we were going to make Navajo tacos for our staff. A lot of them are from back east, and so like I knew they would never have heard of it, and I'm like, how can they come spend a summer at West Branch and not find out what Navajo tacos are all about? So we decided to make them. We made them, and a lot of the kids, they really enjoyed it. They never had it before. I'm like, wow, that's really good. Well, there's one special friend that I have who's worked with us for 4 summers, and actually he's coming back this summer for 5 summers, and I worked very closely with him all these summers, and his name is Chance. And Chance is from Peach Springs, and so I knew Chance would kind of have an opinion about our Navajo tacos. So I asked Chance, I had already gotten a lot of positive comments, but I asked Chance, so how were they? And Chance is often a man of not a lot of words, but here's what I got. Eh. So I knew, you know, we were still a little ways away from it. So it just so happens today, though, that Chance's mom is in the audience with us. And so I thought, you know, I really wanted to learn this Navajo taco. And I've known from Chance that his mom really, I mean, she knows her stuff. She's got that magic touch. She, you know, she just knows what's going on. And so I thought, you know, I'll get my personal fry bread trainer, and this will be perfect. So, Lori, if you'll come on up and help me. And, Lori, I'm going to let you go up there with that light, because I have no idea. Oh. Wow. Okay. Arms in, head in. Okay. Righty. All right. Am I right in the back? Something needs to pull down.
There you go.
Okay. Wow. Thank you, Lori. I am so excited. I'm going to really get this down the right way. Okay. I believe in you, Lori. I know.
Okay.
Chance has told me you've got it, and if you can impress him, I know. So I am depending on you. You've got this. So you go on up and stand there.
Oh.
And that way they can hear you.
Up here?
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay, so what do I do first?
Okay, first you're going to need a mixing bowl.
Okay,
I got the mixing bowl. And bluebird flour.
I got it.
You need the bluebird flour.
I've got it right here, and this is really different because I've never seen flour in a bag before. It seems a little tricky to open, and it kind of reminds me, like, I wonder if this is how flour came from my grandmother. I don't know, but hey, you know, here's some Bob's Red Mill flour. That is really good stuff. Anybody use Bob's Red Mill flour? I know Dean and I were talking about it earlier. This stuff is, like, high quality, right? It's amazing. You know, they grind all of their flour, like, stone ground, and none of this high heat, super processed, refined stuff. It's like stone ground, so it's like slow and easy, and you get all of that healthy goodness in it. And one of the things that I love the most about Bob's Red Mill is the simple reach. And like, who wants to use flour that's like had Clorox on it? And so, like, I'm serious, like, almost all of the flour that I use personally is, like, Bob's Red Mill, and I personally think that it's the most awesome. And you know what? I bet you've never made fry bread with Bob's Red Mill before. And so I think this could be very well the best batch of fry bread ever. So how much do I
You make? Really should use the Bluebird.
No, you've never used this before, I don't think. You will not be disappointed. Okay. I promise you. Okay, so how much?
Well, the thing about it is you just... With all our measuring, you just gotta eye it. You have
eye
to,
it?
Yeah.
Like,
so let me just
eye it.
We'll just go ahead and
eye it. Okay. I'm feeling the eye it. Okay.
Okay. All right.
Okay.
Yeah.
So what's next?
Okay. Baking powder.
Baking powder.
You need baking powder.
Okay. So how much?
Okay, well, we measure, you have to use your hands and just measure.
Oh, okay, measure. I'm getting the vibes, so I want to try it.
Okay.
Okay, so let's see, you use probably like 2/3 of the bag of flour, so I'm going to eye it, you can feel the vibe. So I'm thinking 2/3 might be a little bit too much, but maybe if I do half a key, just a little bit more.
That's too much. That's
too much.
Yeah, that's okay. That's too much.
We're good.
Okay.
Right. Okay. 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 What's next?
Salt.
Okay.
Okay.
How much
we need salt.
Salt.
Okay.
Okay, let me guess. We eye it.
We eye it again. Okay. Why don't I show you?
Okay, because I want this. I want this to be. You know, instead of the ant, I'd like to get a thumbs up from.
Okay. Why don't I just show you how you do that? Okay.
Okay.
There's your salt.
That was a pretty good amount of salt.
Yeah. There's your salt.
I'm trying to figure out exactly how much that would be. But okay. Okay. So, and do I mix this up yet?
Yes.
Okay, so mix it up now?
No, not yet.
Okay, what else do I do?
We need hot water.
Hot water, okay, I need hot water. Anything else besides hot water?
No, that's it right now, yeah.
Okay, just hot water, nothing
else. We just need hot water, okay.
Well, I have the hot water in the back, mm-hmm. So I'm going to go because I wanted to keep it hot. So, I'm just going to take this with me and I'll be right back with the hot water.
Okay.
We need water. He doesn't know what he's talking about. I've eaten powder before, and there's no way it's just flour and hot water. Like, there's got to be some sort of fat in it, like butter, or lard, or oil, or something, because like, you can see the glistening. You don't get that golden brown from flour and hot water. So, let's see what I have in the fancy back here. I don't really want to question her anymore, because I don't want to embarrass her that she's forgotten. A really important is me, like fat. You gotta have some kind of fat. So here, hold this for a minute. Here I got olive oil in the pantry. And how much? Okay, I can do this eye thing now. Three-thirds of a bag of flour, about half a can of baking powder. So let me get this open. I think if I just I just need to add more. But this eye thing is kind of liberty. No measuring cups. And while she wasn't looking, Lori, you probably need to be by the microphone so they can hear you.
Okay.
So just sit back there. And coming back in, I've got the hot water. And I can feel my arm is still hot. So I know we're good. So I want to be hands on with this. So you tell me when to stop. I'll pour.
Okay.
Stop. Okay.
Okay, stop.
Stop?
Mm-hmm.
That wasn't all that much. Okay. Thanks for the apron. Okay, so now what do? I mix it. How much time to mix it?
We use our hands.
That is so not going to happen. Okay, I think we can stop the illustration here now, can't we? And ask the question, is this batch of fried bread going to get me a thumbs up from chance? No way. No way at all. Why is it, though? Because, I mean, she knows her stuff. Chance said she knows her stuff, and I was trusting her. Why in the world wouldn't this batch of fried bread turn out? Well, the answer is pretty obvious, isn't it? It is. Thanks so much, Lori. I'm going to tell you what. Why don't you take this home with you?
Oh, yeah.
And sometime between now and when Chance comes for summer, you make him a good batch, okay?
All right.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah, give her a hand. Well, this is just how it is with God and us sometimes, isn't it? Yeah, it is. Is following instructions important? It is with fry bread making. And it especially is with God's instruction. And that's why Samuel told Saul, "Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams." And that's why James tells us, "Be doers of the word and not hearers only." Following instructions exactly as they're given is a crucial part of holding on for dear life. The Bible tells us that running the Christian life is like a race. So imagine for a minute, picture yourself in the Iditarod, the famous dog race. So our dogs are out in front of us. We have our team of dogs, and we're racing across miles of snowy wilderness. We don't know what lies ahead. We don't know what obstacles are out there. We don't know what temptations, what trials. We don't know what joys. But as we mush through life, we need to make sure that we have the number one rule of dog sledding constantly running through our minds. no matter what, no matter what, never, ever let go. So as we leave today, let's be thinking about holding on for dear life. Approach instruction with a submissive heart. Seek instruction and follow the instructions. Flip back. You got your finger in Proverbs 4:13. Let's say it together one more time. Proverbs 4:13. Here we go. Proverbs 4:13. Take fast hold of instruction. Let her not go. Keep her, for she is thy life.